going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars. Because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drum roll, please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
This episode is brought to you by Merrick Pet Care. For over 30 years, Merrick has crafted high-quality dog food. Since our founding in Hereford, Texas, all of Merrick's recipes have prioritized whole nutrition with deboned meat, fish, or poultry as the number one ingredient. That's why we say real is our recipe. Real ingredients and homestyle flavors your pet loves. Look for new Merrick packaging with real ingredients shown on the bag and inside it. Find it online or in your local pet store.
When he was planning to propose, I've just been talking to my therapist, and she said, I shouldn't make any big life decisions right now. I don't need to do that.
And you're so listening to this.
She's saying this on a Monday. I'm planning on proposing on a Friday.
I have to run 3 miles, chased by dogs. There's helicopters and there's whole thing. Then you get captured, and that's when you start having to go through, I don't want to say torture, but it kind of is.
We actually didn't even plan to
go public.
There was a whole paparazzi episode about finding out where you live and then following us.
We were holding hands like right before like we got on the street. But they caught us, I guess.
What is it like being engaged to someone that was on The Bachelorette? Did you watch the season?
No, I still haven't seen it. I don't know, it's just like, do I want to watch her making out with multiple guys?
What's up, dudes?
And welcome back to the Unplanned Podcast.
Today, we have some very special guests.
Hannah Brown and Adam, thank you guys for coming on the show.
Yes!
We appreciate you being
here.
Thanks
for having us.
Yeah, they just got engaged pretty recently. Like, that's...
I was looking at your ring. You did an amazing job.
That is really great.
Beautiful.
Wow, that is a beautiful ring.
He did really well. Did it mostly himself. I didn't know what he was going to do. We went and looked at rings. Like, we were in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, where I'm from. My brother had just gotten married, and they were picking up some type of wedding registry, something from the jeweler. And I was like, I was like looking at the rings. I was like, well, I haven't tried them. I was like, would you just want to try one? And they're not like, there wasn't many to choose from, like maybe like four. Like,
oh, yeah.
And I was like, I just want to see like what even size I am or whatever. There was one that was a 3-stone.
Okay.
They didn't look like this exactly, but I never thought I would want that. But the way it looked on my finger, he was like, I think that looks really nice. And he must have really liked it because that's what he ended up getting me. Was it
that
really?
That same ring?
That's awesome.
No.
Oh, you said similar.
Just
the
idea. Tell us about the proposal. First of all, did you even know what was going to happen? Like, were you surprised?
I hadn't thought about it, really. Just had a lot going on starting the podcast. We were also working on this other project. There was just a lot happening. And my anxiety was super heightened in a way that hadn't been in a while. And was really trying to, like, just kind of keep that at bay, but was not doing the best. And I, like, had this, like, freak out conversation. I don't know what's wrong with me. Are you sure you want to be with me? Like this, which, mind you, this happens like every quarter. Every quarter.
Yeah.
I have this conversation. Yeah. But, you know, this was on this Monday of when he was planning to propose. And I was just like, yeah, I've just been talking to my therapist. And she said, I shouldn't make any big life decisions right now. Just, I don't
really?
Need to do that.
And you're
so
listening to this.
She's saying this on a Monday. I'm planning on proposing on a Friday.
Oh my gosh.
In one of our favorite places, Bolt Farm Tree Houses in Whitwell, Tennessee.
Yeah. So, wow. And he had told me I hadn't been putting two and two together because I was so in my own stuff. Just thought we were going on a trip.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, he like can't sleep knowing that I've said all this stuff. And he was like, hey, I really want to talk about something. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's about last night. I was like, trust me, I feel so much better. And he's like, well, yeah, like it is. You know, you said some things that, you know, you're like asking what is love and, you know, saying that your therapist doesn't think that you need to make any big decisions right now. And I feel like it's only fair of me to let you know that I'm planning on proposing on Friday. And
whoa.
I'm like, wait. I said no.
You're like, my crisis was averted and now it's
and
bad.
Now, it's bad.
Now, now there's no. Another one.
And so then I have a panic attack that night.
Oh.
So then I messaged my therapist literally like right after we're at dinner. In all caps, I need counsel.
Oh my God.
Get me in. And I felt, you know, she was asking about how it's feeling. And I was like, it's not that I don't want to get engaged. I just am in this weird space. she's like, well, what if you just say that to him? And I'm like, well, I mean, I kind of did. And he then messages me and it's like, okay, like I'm going to cancel it all. And I was like, oh, great. This is, I feel bad. But also like now I know it's going to happen. So like I can be like ready whenever we do something.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be this weekend.
Had you guys talked about getting engaged at all? Or was that like the first time that it was mentioned?
Yeah, we talked about it.
We definitely talked about it, you know, half-heartedly and just, you know, just to get a sense of what she would like.
Yeah.
But that's kind of when it we put it into motion, like actually, you know, thinking about it.
We want to do this, yeah.
Yeah. We didn't talk extensively about it.
And this was after dating for how many years?
Over 2.5.
Yeah.
2.5.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So then he ended up telling me that everything was not happening. And I said, like,
we're going to postpone things. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. I want the surprise factor to be there because that's what engagement's all about. It's like, you want the reaction, you want her to feel good about it. And everything leading up into that point kind of took all the fun away from it.
Mm.
I did have family and friends like flying and driving in from all over the country. So there was still a part of me that in the back of my head, I was like, yes, we're going to postpone things, but I still want to make it work somehow.
So that was on Friday. We were supposed to leave. That's when everything was supposed to happen.
Okay.
And on Thursday, I just gone to therapy again. I went back to back days.
Okay, like we're doubling up. This has been long.
Yeah, doubling up. As he was plotting, he had talked to our friends who owned the Bolt Farm Treehouses. They had just had a baby like that week, the week before, and they were going to host like a little party. And they had this really beautiful barn where they'll have people come. And I didn't think anything of it. So I was like, okay, great. Like, let's go. I like literally put on like dirty clothes from the floor when I walk in and I'm like, huh, this is like set up weird for a baby like celebration. And he had planned it in this beautiful barn.
Wow.
And got me there.
And this is before your family was in town?
This is before, because my family, we were going to meet them. So this was like the Thursday before. And I was I was totally shocked. So we ended up definitely salvaging it, but I also was like, really?
wait, but you just had this whole crisis, and then were you kind of worried, like, did I just make the wrong decision?
It wasn't that I didn't make the wrong decision. The whole thing, like I said, it was never that, like, I didn't want to get married or get engaged. It was more, I'm in a weird spot right now. It was still beautiful and great, and I definitely was in the moment, and I'm glad there wasn't people around, because I could, like, it was just us.
Yeah.
Looking back, I would have done it differently for sure. I'm glad everything worked out and she said yes. And she, did, she didn't freak out. But there was something in me that I was like, I can still make this work and make her happy and bring the surprise factor back. But in the, like, looking back, really, I should have taken it more seriously, you know, her mental health and like where she was in terms of anxiety and her therapy and what her therapist said.
I think there was a lot of fear around also just getting engaged. So it was like almost like ripping the Band-Aid off type thing. Mm. For me, I think anxiety in relationships has been always something that I've kind of struggled with. Like fear of sometimes just taking next steps and things after everything that I've gone through. Like for those who don't know, like I was the bachelorette, got engaged. Yes. And like, I think that was actually like kind of just traumatic in a sense. So I think the engagement and like everything just kind of triggered some things, right, so that it happened was great and that we had it together. And then we had the weekend with our family and friends, and we obviously had to tell them more of the story.
Yeah.
And then I also think it's been cool to be able to share our story, because a lot of times you just see like pictures and videos of like this magical moment, which we have. Mm-hmm. We have the pictures and the videos of a beautiful moment that looks perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But there's this whole backstory that I don't think everybody hears. And there's a lot of women who feel the same way that I do when it comes to, and men maybe feel in the same way as Adam, of there being, even though it's something you want to do, there's this fear and it's maybe not always like this picture perfect moment. It's exciting to step into this new part of your life, a new chapter, but it's okay to also have other feelings of fear of that.
Like it can be both.
It can be both.
Yeah. And as you were telling that story, I was thinking that same thing.
Yeah.
Like you can see it all in just a picture, but not know, like it can be a lot of heavy things all at once.
Yeah.
I realized too, with you mentioning The Bachelorette, I was like, I don't think we ever did a proper intro. So for those of you guys listening, Hannah Brown, if you don't know, Hannah Brown was The Bachelorette. She won Dancing with the Stars, which is super impressive, by the way. And then was just also on Special Forces. So I can't imagine like having so much of your life public and then doing The Bachelorette, you know, dating all these people, and then you have that engagement on The Bachelorette, and now this is going on. So like, I guess now that I'm putting the pieces of the puzzle together, I'm like, that makes sense why you would have so much stress around this moment. I'm curious, like, how much of being on that show was like real versus like television, you know? Because I feel like you're aware of it being TV, or were you? I don't know.
I was such like so innocent going on the show, I would say. I really thought that this was like a door that God was opening up for me, and this is how I was gonna meet my person. Like, you know, people met on a dating app or meet, you know, all different types of ways. So why not? This is just the way that this is gonna happen for me. As far as it being real, I wouldn't say it's staged, but there's a lot. It's a TV show, so there's a lot of production in play.
Yeah.
Producers that, you know, are trying to make a good TV show.
Okay.
And you're cut off from the outside world, so you don't have your family, your friends to kind of do some pulse checking.
Yes.
And just really asking, like, what do you want? Like, is this who you really want to be with? How are you feeling? Like, you have that, but it's all in a story.
You can't have that all. You can't like talk to your siblings and be like, what do you think about this person? Mm-hmm. Like, you have a producer to talk to.
But it's on like TV and it's different.
Oh, so if you are like able to talk to them, like they're going to record hometowns. It.
Yeah, no.
That's so weird.
So you're cut off from everyone.
Wow.
And they also are hearing everybody else's, you know, little story. So it's like, ooh, okay, this person's feeling this way and this person's feeling this way. So let's make this happen.
Yeah, they have like influence.
They have influence. Yeah. So I don't ever like to say it's not real, because it is real, but there's a lot of forces at play that are just not
the same as real life.
Okay. Yeah.
So the producers, are they trying to basically be your friend and then influence decisions that
1,000%.
You make?
1,000%. And I always try to be careful. Like, it's not that I don't think that producers didn't care about me at all, but they also have to, it's their job.
To make good TV.
To make good TV.
Yeah.
So when I first went on, I was like, oh, I don't think my person's here. That's so scary. Now I'm The Bachelorette and I have to do like, I don't remember, 8, 9 something weeks of this. And then you're at the end of it and it's like, I'm supposed to get engaged, kind of like knowing you're going to get engaged, but like, is it going to happen? Like, I think all those feelings kind of came up again. But in that moment, being like, am I making the right decision? I don't know. I think everybody's telling me I'm making the right decision. I'm still not sure, because I just broke up with a guy 2 days ago and I have to break up with a guy today and get engaged today. That's really weird. So it's just a lot of emotions and conversations and things at play that are just not normal. And I think it can be triggering when you're put in similar situations without all those other outside things happening, but you feel that again. And I think that kind of happened for me.
Yeah, like that like influenced your engagement. This episode is sponsored by Rocket Money. It seems like there's literally subscriptions for every single thing.
Isn't it annoying? Everything is a monthly service. It's like, sign up for our subscription. It's like, I don't want to do that. And then I forget about it every single time.
There's literally a Bacon of the Month Club.
What? A Bacon of the Month Club?
If you think of it, someone already has thought of it and made it a monthly subscription.
But luckily, Rocket Money helps you cancel your subscriptions so that you don't forget about them and they just keep going and going and spending all your money.
Exactly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills all in one place. I feel like with the coming of the new year, people usually have a resolution that is along the lines of budgeting, and Rocket Money is a great tool for that. With over 5 million uses and counting, Rocket Money has helped save its customers an average of $720 a year.
Wow.
And $1 billion in total savings.
Whoa,
so far.
That's a lot of money.
That's insane.
A billion?
Can you even fathom
savings?
That?
That's crazy.
For its customers.
Can we just give it up for Rocket Money right now?
Yes. Stop wasting your money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions and manage your money the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/unplanned. That's rocketmoney.com/unplanned. rocketmoney.com/unplanned.
Back to the episode.
What is it like being engaged to someone that was in the public eye in that exact way, like on The Bachelorette.
Yeah, it's been a journey for sure.
Also, did you watch the season?
Yeah, were you watching all this?
I still haven't seen it.
Okay.
And I don't think I would watch her season.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe at some point. I don't know. It's just like, do I want to watch, you know, every episode her making out with multiple guys?
Yeah, did you watch it back? Or is that like...
I watched it when it was happening. Okay. I mean, I was there and then I watched it when it aired.
I want to watch her on The Bachelor. I want to see her on Colton season. I mean, it's not... She doesn't have a whole lot of airtime, but
yeah,
I think that would be more fun than watching her as a Bachelorette.
Yeah. I think there's...
So you haven't seen either?
No. Wow. I mean, I've seen clips and, you know, I get tagged and stuff every now and then.
Like on YouTube or TikTok. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, I've seen most of her Dancing with the Stars dances and I watched all of Special Forces. So I'll go back to the Bachelor days at some point.
Does that make you uncomfortable having so much of that time of your life, like public, just completely out there and you can't really control that, you know?
The dating stuff. Yeah, yeah. I think so. Because I think there's a warped view of me in dating and in love, because like maybe I responded and reacted in ways that I maybe wouldn't have if it wasn't that it was a TV show. Okay. Not that I knew it was a TV show, it's just my friends weren't there to be like, what are you doing? Or
editing
for sure. So I think sometimes I can get a little self-conscious about it, being like, oh wait, why do people like me, or why are people still interested? Is it a piece of who I still am, or is it a piece that's like long gone, or a piece that just like happened in this editing that kind of made me look this way? I think that can be what's hard for me.
Do you feel like people got an accurate representation of who you are as a person on The Bachelor and on The Bachelorette?
I think I was definitely like authentic for everything that was at play at that time, but I don't think a lot of the things and the ways that I reacted, responded, had conversations, or anything that would actually happen in real life. And I think I got an accurate representation of me at that stage of my life. I was 24. I was the youngest Bachelorette.
Wow.
So like, and just my life before, I was very sheltered, lived in a small town, Alabama, never left. I went to school.
We know a lot about sheltered.
Yes.
That's us.
That is us.
And then I went off into LA and had this, and I felt like I found myself and was like, actually had a world opened up to me, which I think was amazing and I'm so thankful. But that was the first time that had like opened up for me, and so that was all like captured on camera too. And it's like,
if you could go back and do it all over again, would you have gone on The Bachelorette? Would you change the past, or do you feel like because of the life that you lived, it's made you who you are today?
No, I'm like, I wouldn't have not gone on those shows. I think there's been a lot of benefit, not just career-wise, but like obviously, but like I said, it opened my world up in such an amazing way in a lot of instances and circumstances. And it also was the first time that like anybody really asked me about how I felt, was from a producer on a TV show. Like I'd never had anybody like ask me how a certain thing made me feel. Mm-hmm. Producers are there to like, you know, be your friend and help you in some way, kind of understand what you're feeling. Because only so much you can see a person like make a face, or, you know, if somebody's being asked, you know, on a date and you really like that person, you can see somebody just be like, you know, happy for the person. But having someone then sit you down and interview and like, how did you really feel? And it's like, how did I feel? I feel really disappointed because it reminded me of this, that maybe like I'm not always picked. I sometimes feel like I'm not always chosen.
Whoa.
And it's making you think that way for the first. I never like thought like, oh, you know, I would be like, you know, I was disappointed, but everybody gets disappointed. Yeah. And it's like, no, but like, why did that make you feel disappointed? And I'm like, because I didn't get picked. And it's like, have you ever felt like you weren't chosen before? And it's like,
wow, that's so...
Maybe
there's more to this.
Yes. That was the first time I'd had any type of conversation like that in my life. And those are my favorite conversations to have. And I think where you learn the most about yourself and others. And it was really from that show. And I came back home and my mom was like, wow, like I changed so much and like really was more of an insightful individual from it. Yeah.
It almost sounds like it's a therapy session that they're recording. Like when they interview you, like I've never thought about it that way, but hearing all those different storylines that they pull from in the TV show, it makes sense now how they do it, because they really go deep and get you to open up. So I'm sure that was probably like nice for you to do that. It was helpful to like talk out all of those feelings and express that. But then to have that shared on national television must be weird to be so vulnerable, and then it's just all out there.
Totally. But then in that same breath, I think because I learned how to have those conversations and be so vulnerable, yes, it was weird watching people see that, but I don't think we would have met if it wasn't or connected if I hadn't learned how to have those types of conversations. Because he's 7 years older than me, and also had gone through his own, like, you know, growth and change and journey with himself and understanding more of what he believes and who he is. And so I think because we have both kind of understood the importance of having those vulnerable, insightful conversations to create connection, is how we were able to connect. And in a way that if that hadn't happened, I would have not known how to really show up authentically as myself.
Yeah, and more on how you guys met. You said you'd met on a dating app.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And you being a public figure, did you recognize her? How did that work?
She had a very familiar face, but I had no idea who she was.
Okay.
But I Googled her like 45 minutes before our first date and saw a bunch of YouTube videos of her doing... She was basically doing a series on her getting back into the dating life after The Bachelorette. The videos almost scared me off. I mean, they were
oh my God.
Her going into the bathroom and being like, oh my gosh, this is not my guy. The food's good, but I'm going to go back in and see what happens.
Oh, yeah. Shoot.
Stuff like that.
Did you make a video like that on your first date?
I didn't make it because...
I had my eye on her phone the entire time. When she went to the bathroom, I was like, let's leave that phone there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I had like thought about it, but honestly, as soon as I met him... I had also had a long day of other videos, so I was
really?
I'm tired. No,
I was your second date of the day, right?
No.
You're like,
well, you were pulling two-a-days.
I was pulling two-a-days.
You were speed dating. You were trying to meet all these different guys.
It was fun.
Wow.
I was loving dating at this point because I had just taken the pressure off of it, and I was like, I'm just going to go back out there and either know me. If they know me, they know me. If they don't, they don't. I really don't care. I'm just going to try to just like show up authentically. Yeah. And we met... at this little Mexican restaurant that was right in the neighborhood. I like biked there, and I just had a YouTube malfunctions. My camera was overheating and dying, and I was just stressed. I was trying to do like another type of video, and I was just irritated at the day. And we had talked, and he had planned this date, and I was like, can we move it up? I need a drink.
Oh my gosh.
And he was like, yeah, sure, but how about this time? And I ended up still being late, and I rode my bike over there like no makeup on, like it was a really like I was being myself, just a mess. And I remember I got there and I kind of saw him from the side. I was like, oh shoot, he's really cute. And I had like a beanie on my head. It was around this time of year, and I was like, okay, trying to like get myself ready. And I came in just like so flustered, and he's so calm and just has more of like a calming energy. And I think he was just amused by my frazzledness. And I think I pretty quickly was like, okay, I don't know if I'm gonna record this one because I kind of like him. Like, I knew.
Wait,
I'm
you
like,
were recording the date or just like your?
I would go in and like when I would start a video, like just, you know, my phone, be like, okay, I'm going on a date, meeting this guy at this restaurant. He seems really cool, but we'll see how it's going to go. And then I would go, we would have the date, and then I would like have to go to the bathroom, and then I would be like, okay, so here's all that happened.
Oh, but my
I
knew.
And like, during the dinner, a film crew would come and like,
no.
It would just be content though out of these days.
I would just vlog the date.
Okay, be honest though. Like, were you going on extra dates because you're like, this is kind of a fun series? Like,
I was kind of mad I met him because I was like, this is fun. Like, this was a really fun, good content.
Yeah.
And
she still tried to keep doing it. I mean, I don't know if you were...
No, I just wanted to date more.
You're like, I still want to date, but I think in the back of your mind, you were kind of like, I want to date more so that I can continue my YouTube series.
Totally.
That's a good series. Must be really, really entertaining to watch.
It was a really good series, and I wanted to keep dating more people.
And I mean, think about her followers. They were eating it up.
All the girls rooting you on.
Oh, yeah, they were like,
dump him!
Yeah, yeah. But then I met him, and I'm like, shoot, well, like, I don't need to, like, put out a video about him because then he'll if I want it, because I was like, I kind of want to go on another date with him.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. The gift giving season is upon us.
It is upon us.
I feel like it's kind of stressful. I'm really thankful, though, because I feel like we are bad. But whether or not your family gives gifts during the holidays, you get to define how to give to yourself, and the holidays are a great time to do that. So whether it's by starting therapy, going easier on yourself during the tough moments, or treating yourself to a day of complete rest, remember to give yourself some love this holiday season.
I think people ignore themselves over the holidays, especially moms and people that end up hosting and have to deal with all of the stress of everything. So if that's you, maybe you need to go to BetterHelp, because they have licensed therapists that you can freely switch whenever you want. If one's not working for you, you can switch to somebody else. And it's just a great way to do therapy from the comfort of your own home.
It's a really convenient way to sign up when there's like so much hectic craziness going on during this time of the year. You just go online, do a personal survey, and then you're set up with a licensed therapist. It's completely online, so you don't have to go somewhere. So it's great because it'll help you learn positive coping skills and how to set boundaries, which is very, very important during the holidays. So in the season of giving, give yourself a little of what you need with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unplannedpodcast today to get 10% off your first month. That's help, HELP.com/unplannedpodcast.
Back to the episode.
So you just messed it all up. And anyway, I never made another video after.
You know, Hannah being a TV internet personality, how did that make you feel going into this dating thing? Did you guys decide, okay, we're not going to show our relationship on social media for X amount of months? Like, how did you navigate all that? Did that make you uncomfortable?
I would be lying if I said I wasn't intimidated. At first, I was definitely intimidated. I didn't know anything about that world. And honestly, like, she kind of coached me through it. So like, we would ride bikes together. And we would, you know, be leaving each other, and I would go to give her a kiss on the cheek or something, and she'd be like, no. She'd be like, not here. Just because, like, being on I remember that distinctly. Being on the Santa Monica boardwalk.
Yeah.
She was like, no, I'm not doing that here, because someone was probably watching and got to take a picture of that. And then if it got out, we just weren't at the stage in our relationship yet to handle a lot of scrutiny or just eyeballs.
Yeah, and I think it was hard at first. I remember, like, I would share on social media, but I would never show him. Like, we would be doing something together, but I would just show me. And I could tell you were a little like,
well, just because I had never experienced it before. Like if I think something, I'm going to say it. If I want to do something, I just do it. And you know, thinking through actions and words to that extent, I just hadn't experienced before.
Yeah, but I think you started to understand why. But it was weird at first when you're dating somebody, like, why don't you want to share me, or why are you being weird in front of other people?
Because in a lot of circumstances, that could be like a red flag.
1,000%. Yeah. But I think I also tried to like tell him pretty upfront, like, trust me, like, it's very hard when you're like starting a new relationship or like in a relationship to have a lot of people like chiming in just personally, because then I'm gonna be like, ooh, what are they saying? I don't want to be with him or whatever. And I didn't want that to be anything that swayed my decisions, because I already had anxiety in relationships of just like, who do I want to be with? Do I want to be like actually dating someone? I just wanted to date around, you know. So I didn't need anybody else to question or look into things, like,
because it's weird, because like, someone could get a hold of a 13-second clip of us not like being super lovey-dovey and like putting a lot of attention on each other and be like, you guys aren't right for each other, they're not right for each other, you need to be with someone that you left in the past. And like, I'd be lying if that said that didn't affect us, especially during the beginning.
It affected you probably.
It affected
me
for sure.
So did you wait a certain amount of time? I was like, we don't have to be done. You don't have to touch me right now. Like, you know, like, I think he wanted to make sure people knew that we liked each other.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we don't have to. And I get it. I'm like, but we don't always have to act like we're this couple we're just like totally obsessed with each other. And like, we are, but it's okay. People are going to say that things about us regardless.
Yeah.
They're going to say you're either too clingy, or they don't have any connection, or they're perfect for each other, or they're totally wrong. Like, that's always, there's always going to be those different types of opinions out there. But it's hard on that level, for sure. Mm-hmm.
So then how long did you wait to go public with your relationship?
We actually didn't even plan to go public. We went. We were walking on Abbot Kinney,
like on a rainy. It's Abbot Kinney's like in
Venice,
Santa Monica area. It's okay. A pretty like public place, but I don't even think we normally held hands. I remember now. We had parked at the end of the street, and we were holding hands like right before like we got on the street. But somebody must have. Like a paparazzi, which it's not that I always have paparazzi, but I guess when it comes to like dating and stuff, had followed us and saw that we were holding hands right
That's
before
bizarre.
We got on Abbot Kinney.
But there, like, there was a whole paparazzi episode about like them staking it out and like finding out where you live and then following us.
Yeah,
from me picking
because we weren't being like when we got on the like regular like pretty open. There's lots of people on Abbot Kinney, like we weren't holding hands, we were just like chilling, laughing, but they caught us, I guess, before.
That's crazy. Yeah, we have so many problems with the paparazzi.
Oh yeah, they just come
it's
after
just
us.
So annoying.
No, I mean, we don't. There'll be like random things.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that kind of.
That's weird though to just like be out in public and someone snaps a photo of you. Like we've never had that, but it is weird. Like I'm sure you probably had a fan that was maybe taking a video of you in public. Like
1,000%.
We've had that happen in like Disney, and every time I see people, I just like wave at them.
Dude, I was in the awkward stage of pregnancy, and it was the first time like I was in a bikini, and people were taking pictures like
it's the worst.
Literally 4 feet from me. I was like, maybe not.
That's annoying.
Yeah. Doing that would be great. Yeah.
So were you?
That's kind of bizarre, like that, like they kind of took your story and made it public when you weren't necessarily trying to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we didn't really decide when, but it had been a good amount of time, I feel like. Mm. But then we just kind of slowly started showing our relationship, and it was also a COVID relationship, so it started pretty.
Oh, okay.
You know, we could only do so much. Like I remember that was like a big day. We got to go out. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a lot of our relationship was at each other's place, or like even on the beach was kind of weird back then in Santa Monica. Like you couldn't always just be outside. It was very weird. So we got close really quickly.
I want to ask you, what was it like telling your family, like you might have seen her before, this girl that I'm bringing home, might know a lot about her. Did they have any kind of reaction to that?
I don't think so. I think my mom and dad thought it was cool.
Did they warn you at all? Like, be careful with this bachelorette girl.
Not at all. They're just not, I don't know. We don't really have those kind of conversations anyway, but it was more just like, cool. Can't wait to meet her.
Yeah.
Okay,
and then my brother, my younger brother, we lived together in Venice. He was down from the get go. I mean, he was like, she seems cool and can't wait to meet her. Like all that kind of stuff. So
Elise was a fan of the show.
Yeah. My sister-in-law, definitely knew who she was and was super excited about it. Other than that, my family doesn't get like overly excited about anything.
Just chill.
So they were just like, cool, can't wait to meet her, bring her for Thanksgiving or Christmas. I mean,
love that.
But very, it'll be funny chill. Now like his dad will keep up with things and be like, I saw you did so and so.
My dad is like number one fan.
Yeah,
that's sure. So funny.
Yeah, so now they're more into it for sure.
You must be pretty good at dancing since you like literally won Dancing with the Stars. You have a dance background, I'm assuming.
I danced when I was younger, yes, growing up, but I feel like it's so weird. I have like a complex with dance, which I feel like a lot of people do. Even though I won, I still sometimes don't think I can dance.
What?
I know it's weird, but yeah, like I can have rhythm sometimes, but I also sometimes. Can be like super stiff. Yeah, I guess I can dance.
Was that show so nerve-wracking? Because I think that we both have like backgrounds in dance from being
from
like,
TikTok, you know?
Yeah.
No, from like being kids in dance class and doing theater and stuff.
Yeah.
I would be so stressed thinking about learning something you learn on a Monday and perform it on a...
No, you perform on a Monday, you would start learning on like the Tuesday.
Whoa.
You perform on the Monday.
And sometimes
and then it's
two
usually
dances.
Sometimes two, three dances.
Wow. And you have the huge live audience, which would almost be more stressful to me than the fact that, because you can kind of separate, like, it's just a camera, even though it is being broadcasted to so many people. But, like, that's so...
It was crazy.
Were you stressed out?
I was so stressed out. And I think after everything, in a year, I was on Bachelorette.
Right.
Dancing with the Stars. So like I was on like 30 something Mondays of the year on ABC. And so it was right after Bachelorette and it had not gone right. And I was like, I have to win. And I just, that's all I did. I just went to my like little apartment that had like nothing in it in LA and danced. And then, but danced for like 8 hours a day.
And talk about nerves. Like we went and saw Matt James dance. And yeah. Before like seeing them on the side of the stage about to walk out, like my heart was going like
yeah.
This.
Yeah.
So I can only really imagine what you went through every single
There's
night.
Like these little clicks that started. It's like, because it's the crowd's so loud, and that's like what lets you know.
The click track in your ear.
No, but they'll have it, but you can barely hear it. But that's to let the dancers know, okay, it's about to start because it's so loud in there.
Oh my god!
But sometimes you can barely hear the click, so you don't know which click you're on. So you're like, okay, I just got to be ready.
Oh my god!
And yeah, there's no doing it over.
And like you see the dancers, and each of them kind of prep differently, but some are like super frantic, can't stop walking. That's some are neat. Just like stone cold, just like breathing, almost like closing their eyes. Like people handle it differently, but you can feel the nervous energy.
Today's episode is sponsored by SeatGeek. We have recently become sports fans.
Yes, we like going to Suns games now.
Yes, and we've been looking to find the best deal on Suns tickets.
Yes.
And oftentimes we find ourselves scrolling through SeatGeek because they just make it so user-friendly.
Yeah.
They have tickets for every event you could probably think of. We've looked at tickets for musicals on there. We've looked at tickets for sporting events, for like any kind of sporting events.
Well, Coyotes, you actually bought
Suns,
our tickets,
Cardinals.
The musical that we went to last year, I think you bought those on SeatGeek. And what's really nice about SeatGeek is if there's a good deal on a ticket, it will light up green and you can see, these seats right here, this is a steal. And on the flip side, if it's not a good deal, it will let you know the technology is amazing and it's red. So you're like, I probably should avoid buying that ticket because it is not a good deal.
It's just so clear. They even have yellow if it's like, it's a decent deal like for this seat. Because it takes all those things into consideration. It's the number one rated ticketing app and they have more than 70,000 events on their app, including concerts, sports, festivals, all that stuff. And here's the other thing. They are backed with their buyer guarantee and SeatGeek is the only site that lets you return your tickets ahead of the event with swaps.
That's really nice.
Because, you know, plans change and sometimes you're locked in with these crazy non-refundable ticket prices. And you know, we came through for you guys. Use our code UNPLANNED for $20 off tickets at SeatGeek. That's $20 off your first purchase with promo code UNPLANNED. Make sure you click the link in the description to download the app.
Now back to the episode.
But it's such a cool experience. I'm so glad I got to do it.
Oh, yeah.
I was not, like I said, a lot was happening in that year. That was before I knew how to cope with big feelings. So that's why I think I just really went into like, I have to win. I have to do this, which I did. But I don't think I got to fully enjoy the experience the way that I would have loved to just like, it's such a cool show. Yeah. But when you're so scared and tense and just want to win because you think that's the only thing that matters, there's a part of it that you can't fully enjoy. So
yeah.
I would change that or I'd love to go back and be able to do that again. But it was really fun.
Yeah,
really
your cool experience. Your determination is something that stands out to me.
Yeah.
Like you saying, like, I have to win. I have to do that. And I feel like that carries on to you being in the special forces as well. Like, that's crazy. Your mental...
Well, you won special forces, right?
Yeah, I do really well in... Which is not like real life. So a lot of these... things that I've gotten to do are reality TV because they are real. Everything's real. But it's not real life, these experiences that you go through where you don't have a phone, you're cut off from all other responsibilities.
Yeah.
I do great in anything where it's like you have one focus and you do this thing.
Okay.
And I'm like, I can do this. It's really easy for me to, I hate the word, it's totally dissociation. I can dissociate from everything else except for the one thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's what has helped me probably now looking back at all my, you know, trauma from the way I have some type of trauma. I think that's my coping mechanism is to just be able to focus on one thing and do that very well. And in these shows and experiences, I was able to do that. So I think that's part of it. But I do think there's a resilience of in every single one of those situations, I had some pretty low lows and being able to be like, all right, well, this is what we're doing right now. Mm-hmm. And we're going to figure out a way to get back up. And so I think there's a resilience there that I'm trying to remind myself that it's not just the, I can dissociate. It's like, no, you have resilience and that's how you've been able to to get through some of these
for sure.
really intense experiences.
Yeah. Didn't you get interrogated for 12 hours straight on the show?
Yeah, it was like 10, 12 hours. I don't really know how long. That was pretty tough because it's not like fully in the interrogation part of Special Forces. It's like the very end of the show was 10 days, and the last day they keep you like fully sleep deprived, and you have to learn this like whole mission you have to do. And it's like fully, we were out in the Jordanian desert, like have to run 3 miles through the desert while you're being like chased by dogs, and there's helicopters and there's whole thing. Then you get captured.
They capture you.
You haven't slept for a day. You get captured, and that's when you start having to go through the interrogation plus like what is it called? I don't want to say torture, but it kind of is, where you're staying in like stress positions and you have to listen to like really horrible like sounds for 10 to 12 hours while you're being interrogated and stuff.
What are these sounds?
Yeah, like
is it like a baby's frequent? Like crying, no. like colic.
No.
Me literally crying.
Mother's screaming. No. Like, or I say mothers. I think that's what I like. But like a woman like screaming bloody murder.
No, I.
Metal scraping together.
Oh my gosh.
That like sound, like that really horrible dial tone sound. And then like a pig. It was like a pig eating, it sounded like. It was really horrible.
Oh my gosh.
While you're standing with like your hands up for an hour straight, and then they would put you down on the ground with like your legs flexed, so like this is tight, like laying down or crisscross.
That's horrible. Wow. That's literally horrible.
I would be, and you can't see because you have a mask and thing on. So I would just be like, and you're so tired, so like you're falling asleep and like waking up, and I would just be crying. And just be like, this will be over soon. This has to be over soon. But it was really tough.
And are these real challenges that Special Forces are put through?
They have to do it for 24 hours.
Oh, gosh.
So it's everything we did gave me like a big appreciation for people that are like in our Special Forces. But we did only a small amount of what they have to do.
Wow.
But it was the hardest thing I've ever done, for sure.
Which challenge was the scariest or most difficult?
That was the most difficult for me. It's interesting. Everybody says things differently. Like the interrogation for a lot of people was hard when they have to like remember the story that we learned, like, you know, the day before about why we're getting captured and how to, because it's all a simulation of like what would happen if you got captured by the enemy.
Yeah.
And these type of things would happen to you. Like that part, I was able to handle myself pretty well. I have a pretty good memory, so I knew what I needed to say and kind of kept really in control. But it was those sounds that really bothered me the most, actually. It just like got in my head a lot, and I was so tired. And then you have to like keep your hands above your head, and I just felt like I was going crazy.
Yeah.
That was the hardest for me, for sure.
Was there ever a moment that you felt like you were going to die?
I kept telling myself, this is being there are cameras. There are cameras somewhere, even though I can't see them. I can't die. They're not going to let me die on TV. Oh, that's what I kept telling myself. Because I thought I could. So I'm like, Hannah, they're not going to let you die on TV. They're not going to let you die on TV. So that's what I just kept telling myself. Wow. So I couldn't think that I was going to die. There were times I'm like, my body feels like it's about to break, and I don't want to do this anymore, but.
I'm super impressed by that, because I feel like people can see, like the Bachelor, the Bachelorette, like they don't have to work hard. They're not like determined.
Well, and you're also a pageant girl too, which comes with its own stereotype.
Like, I feel like people just assume, that's not that hard, but it's like it's clear that that's not true based off of like you won it.
Yeah,
you won Special Forces. Like you had the stamina and determination to go through something that literally Special Forces people are put through. So,
you know what I think? I think it's definitely the mental stuff. Like physically, I think it's also knowing I knew I wasn't the best there. Like off my performance, like going in, where a lot of these are like Olympic gold medalists, athletes, professional athletes. And I think they're used to being the best and know what they're doing in their certain thing.
Yeah.
Where for me,
like the top in their area.
Yes. I've always been judged by other people on things that you really can't control, and never, I guess, had that feeling of like I went in knowing like, I don't have the all the things that you think are going to make the best in here. So I think I came in with like a humility about me of like, I know that I am not the person that has all the like qualities on paper that you're like, oh, can do this. Mm-hmm. But I've been in this type of situation before. And so I'm just going to like, just keep going. And yeah. The only way they kick you off is if you quit. So you just don't quit.
Yeah.
So you can't quit even when you're the worst. And I think sometimes it's like when people would start failing, because you would fail parts of the course, different tasks. Like people failed and you would still stay. But I think people who were in that experience when they failed and would get like beaten up, they hadn't experienced that maybe in that type of way or hadn't in a long time. And then with the mental exhaustion that you just have from the environment that you're living in, it can just be like too much.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I was able to just feel like, I guess this is my life now. Yeah. I'm not going to remember that I could like go be in a nice bed right now. Like, this is how I live. This will be the thing. And that.
When did that all get filmed?
Last June of 2022.
Yeah. And you guys weren't in contact, able to contact you then? Oh gosh.
Was that hard for you to watch the show and see Hannah going through all these really challenging things? No, it wasn't.
Because we knew that
she won.
Yeah.
I knew she won, but also I don't know.
He thought it was so cool.
I just know how tough she is, so I wasn't worried about her like durability or anything.
Yeah.
If anything, I was like, you know, I kind of knew that she was going to do well.
Maybe you and Hannah, Abby, should do a Spartan race. Because have you done Spartan race before?
No, have you
Abby
done
Abby loves those.
They're so fun.
She's like, this woman does like CrossFit. She's so, Abby's jacked, by the way. I don't know if
literally, you
probably. Oh my gosh. Why
Abby's very jacked.
Do you do CrossFit?
I used to.
I literally don't even do it right now.
But like, I don't know. I feel like I see a similarity there. Like you guys could totally do some sort of CrossFit.
I did start doing CrossFit after the show. And because I was like, this has shown me that I am capable of doing more than I thought I could. But also, like, there were some strength things that, like, I just didn't know how to do. Like, we had to climb a rope, but I didn't know how to climb a rope. You kind of have to know how
to do
that.
CrossFit will teach you that.
They teach you.
And that was one of the first things. I was like, I have to learn how to climb the rope. And I can climb the rope now. Push-ups, I can do, like, pull-ups, I can do, like, one. I'm still, like, working on that. But that's why I wanted to do it. But that's still a whole different beast in itself. Like, I'm still 1,000% the worst person at our CrossFit gym.
Hey, real quick, we wanted to let you guys know our new merch is here. And it's not just new, it's our first ever podcast merch. It says What's Up Dudes. We almost got rid of What's Up Dudes and you guys wanted us to keep it. To honor that, we made merch.
The people that didn't want us to keep it are like, no.
Like, why are you wearing that?
But the people that did, this is for you.
This is for you. This is for you. I'm so excited to see you guys out in public wearing this. We'll have to get a picture. What are you? Are you about to spit your coffee out? What's going on?
I just got an intrusive thought so bad. I wanted to just do a spit take.
What?
And be like, merch. But I can't because that would get coffee everywhere.
Yeah, you get coffee on our camera.
I'm unhinged today.
You are unhinged today.
I'm rather sleep deprived, but I'm sorry.
Is that what you need to go take
Please
a nap.
Please talk about this merch again.
Basically, all I wanted to say is if we see you guys in public wearing the merch, we totally need to get a picture. If we see you out and about, we would love to get a photo with
we
you.
We would be jolly about that.
Yes.
And you know who else would be jolly? Anyone wearing this hoodie because it's so stinking comfortable. You know,
jolly's my parents. Whenever people say hi to us, like, and my parents are there,
they're so proud.
They're always like, let me take a picture. Yeah, my parents are so sweet.
They are so proud.
Yeah, they're
I love
the best.
That. Thanks for buying this hoodie.
Yep.
And you're welcome for the discount.
Yeah, you can use code dude. You can use code dude10 at checkout for 10% off of our What's Up Dudes merch. Just go to unplannedpodcast.com to buy it. Link in description. Now, back to the episode. So we've talked a lot about, you know, TV shows, literally getting interrogated for 12 hours. That's insane. I still can't believe you did that. But I'm so curious, since you guys are going to get married.
Yeah, have you started wedding planning?
Yeah.
Wedding planning. Have you guys talked about how many kids you want? Have you had those conversations? Because, like, there's a lot of conversations to have. There's a lot of things that you need to be aligned on. Mm-hmm. And what's scary is, like, I don't think it's physically possible to talk about everything that you need to talk about, right? Because, like, people change. We were just talking about that on our podcast the other day. But, like, what have you guys discussed before marriage that you're – making sure you're on the same page on as far as like kids and all that?
I mean, first of all, when it comes to wedding planning, no, we have not done that. It's just been a very busy season for us.
I mean, wedding planning wise, we just need to figure out where we want to do it. I mean,
that's the first step.
We're like either destination wedding or do it, you know, somewhere kind of close to home.
But as far as
talking about
future,
like future, I mean, I've always wanted to have kids. I feel like I was born to be a dad. She knows that. I think, you know, with you, you're kind of, you think about the changes that might happen once kids come.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I just think there's a little bit of uncertainty and anxiety there bringing other, you know, life forms into the world.
Yeah.
And whereas I'm like, you know, a couple of years away, I think we still need to figure out, you know, where you are and where we both can meet.
It's not, I definitely think at some point I want to have kids. I think it's very important for me because there is an age difference. It's very clear that's not something I'm like fully ready for just yet. There's a lot that I still want to do. And it's not that I don't think kids allow you to still be able to do those things, but it changes your focus.
Totally.
I think that there's a way that it can work, but I know me, I know myself. And I think that's, something that I have to, it's very important that we've had these conversations of like, I know myself and I know that I still have some things that I need to work on before I feel really comfortable taking that role as mom, because I know I'll take it very seriously. And so I feel like he would have a child tomorrow.
No,
but I feel,
but like sooner than you.
But I feel like it's been very clear on my side, and he's been able to understand that that is not something that I'm wanting in the next foreseeable future. I really would like to get married and then have some time to still just be us before that like happens really right away.
That's very fair.
Yeah. Is there a timeline you guys have talked about, or is there like a number of kids that you think you might have sometime in the future?
Look, I think what's really hard for women is there is this ticking clock, and I'm 29 and I already have some stuff that, you know, we'll have to pay attention to, like, if we want to have babies, like what we're going to do for that. So I think that is kind of putting this time on that I'm really resisting. That's hard, but it's something that we've talked about, and we're not married yet, and I don't want to have kids before we are married. So I think we just have to get married first, and then we'll start figuring out what we need to do as far as making sure that that's possible for us. I can get really, like I've said, like I can start worrying and questioning things really easily. And I just have to keep reminding myself that we are not even we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Yeah.
But we've had a lot of practice. We have a dog, and
you got a dog.
He's been, you know, really
good. It's been awesome. Yeah.
Parenting.
Yeah.
Would you describe yourself? Oh, sorry.
I was just going to say, no, it's weird. We have two kids, but it does seem intimidating getting a dog, because we started talking about it and I was like, a dog is a lot.
We have two babies.
Yeah. Two babies are a lot.
A dog? Heck no. No.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I don't know why.
I actually think it'd be so cute to get a dog for each of our kids one day.
That'd be
kind of fun.
That's a good idea.
It sounded okay. I'm getting the vibe. Like, would you say you're indecisive at all?
1,000%.
Okay, because that's me. Like, Abby's a really quick decision maker.
I have to be, dude. I'm working with you.
Like, she makes decisions so fast, it's scary. Like, her engagement ring, it was the first ring that she tried on. She was like, "That's what I want."
First guy I dated. Like, I was like,
so quick. And me, like, I'm over here like, well, I could do this option. Well, I could do this. And it's just like, I can't freaking make up my mind.
I
feel like you need the balance.
You do.
Like, if two people are really decisive, I feel like you're going to butt heads.
Yes.
If two people are indecisive, everything's just going to fall apart.
Yes.
Yes. And I feel like that's even like going back to our engagement. he was like, it's happening. And I'm like, okay. Like, it took off the stress, because I could sit here all day and go back and forth of why I should pick one thing or the other. It's like the timing. And so sometimes I think God just has to come in and decide for me.
Someone's got to be the gas to the brake. Someone's got to be the brakes to the gas. But I wanted to ask you, like, what's it like walking through life with a partner that maybe, like, you've said yourself, you're like, I kind of have a crisis quarterly. Like, what's it like being the partner walking through somebody so intimately like that?
It's challenging at times, for sure. But I think everything that I've done up until now in my life has kind of prepared me for it. I've been meditating every day for a little over 11 years now, and I feel like that, along with my newfound faith, has really just helped center me and align me. And I just feel like I'm a little bit calmer more than she is. And when that kind of like that wave comes through, I just kind of ride the wave, and it makes it easier because of what I've done in my past up until this point.
Yeah. And meditating every day, wow, that's dedication. Why did you start doing that?
I think just lack of fulfillment. I felt like my life had become pretty mundane, and there just wasn't a whole lot of just energy or life to it, and I wanted to change it. And meditation was one of those things that I was reading in all these self-help books that was like the consistent thing that all of these people had been doing that brought them a lot of joy. So I read a book called 10% Happier by Dan Harris, and it was all about meditation and how he had kind of a mental breakdown on air. He's a broadcast journalist.
Okay.
He started meditating, and he just basically said the whole premise of the book is meditation made him 10% happier. So I kind of took that and ran with it and started meditating every day, and I just saw things open up for me after doing that.
And how does one meditate? Like, what does that even look like?
It's changed a lot. So, I mean, there are definitely different modalities you can go down, but a lot of it is just, you know, 5, 10, 20 minute focus meditation. You focus on your breath, a mantra. You can literally sit and stare, a prayer. You can sit and stare at a light. I mean, there's so many different ways you can do it, but a lot of times it's me sitting down with my eyes closed, listening to meditation music for 20 minutes.
Whoa. Okay. So it's literally like you can just do 20 minutes. It's not like you have to do a 2-hour long meditation.
Right. And I have been there. I mean, I definitely went down the rabbit hole of meditation, and I've sat through some long meditations, but yeah, 20 minutes every morning, just, you know, witnessing my thoughts come up in my brain and then coming back to whatever I'm focusing on.
I will say you give off a very peaceful vibe.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Appreciate it.
I can see why you guys.
Crazy.
I can see why you guys work together. Then, like, it just fits. You know.
Yeah.
I think we should meditate. Honestly.
Yeah, you're inspiring me. I'm like, I really need to start meditating.
I feel like I'm a little high strung and crazy sometimes. Yeah. You can admit it.
Yeah, but it's funny. Even you just saying what your meditation looks like, I'm realizing there might be things in my life that aren't technically meditation, but might give off some of those same benefits that meditation would give off. Like if I'm stressed, I'll go and ride my one wheel. It's like an electric skateboard, and I'll just listen to EDM music for 20 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
That might not be the most relaxing thing, but for me,
EDM
like,
and meditation music is so, probably pretty different.
It makes me so happy, though. I don't know.
Well, I mean, anything that brings you into the present moment is what I consider meditation. So, I mean, I do jujitsu every day.
Ooh, and that's cool.
You can't think about anything other than surviving.
Wow.
So that is a form of meditation to me, for sure.
Jiu-jitsu, that's like pretty intense, right?
Very intense.
Are you sparring with other guys and just basically trying to take each other out?
Pretty much, yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. I want to try that.
Come try it.
That sounds awesome. I feel like I've always wanted to be the tough guy, so like if there's ever a situation where someone that I love is like threatened, I want to be able to take someone down.
That is the only reason I do it.
Yeah.
I want to be the superhero in a situation. She's like,
yeah, not that I'm like aggressive. I just want to know how to like practice self-defense if I ever needed to use that. So that's really cool that you do that.
Yeah,
very cool.
Well, Hannah, I know that you have a podcast that you just launched recently, as well
as
a new book. Do you want to tell us more about those exciting things happening in your life?
Yeah. So I started my own podcast in July. It's called Better Tomorrow with Hannah Brown. And like we kind of talked about, had this like really intense few years of my life where I grew up a lot and kind of started having these more insightful, big conversations, but also like big life changes, and didn't really know how to handle all that.
Yeah.
And for the first time in my life, really started having bigger conversations, going to therapy, and just trying to figure out, like, I've always worried, been a little bit uptight about some things. And then when that all happened, it's like, oh, how do I not feel like this all the time? So I listened to this podcast one day, and it was this guy, I think it was Oprah's podcast, he said to ask yourself, you know, am I better today than I was yesterday? And ask yourself that every day. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm doing this. And I had a post-it card and I put it in this hallway mirror that I walked by, and I would see it every day and ask myself like that question, and it would make me take an account of what was happening that day. And did I really up level in some way? Did I feel more inspired and encouraged? And some days it was yes, which was awesome, but there would be some days that it was no. And by taking that account, it really allowed me to not have another day that was followed up with another no. Because I took that small few seconds, minute or so, to just like assess what could be a little better, what could have been a better decision that I can make going into the following day. So that's where I came up with the idea of the podcast, is having conversations with people who, what decisions, what life changes did they go through that got them to this better tomorrow? It's been really, really awesome to be able to have a platform to have longer form conversation and really get to connect with not only my guests, but with my community in a different way. Because, I mean, there's so much noise out there. There's so much entertainment or things that we can do that just kind of numb us. And so what is it that I can really give of value to those people who are taking the time to, you know, spend 30 minutes, an hour with me? And like, can I make sure that I'm being really responsible for that time and making sure they feel better than they did when they press play? So that's like the whole goal of the podcast, is to just make people feel a little bit better than they did yesterday. And then with that, I've been working on a book for a while now. I've written a book that was nonfiction about my life. I call it like my quarter life memoir. And that was amazing. And that was in 2021.
That's a really big undertaking to write.
It was
a lot.
Book. That was really hard. And this is now fiction, which was, it's always been my favorite. I grew up like being an avid reader and loved romance. So this is a rom-com. It's called Mistakes We've Never Made. And I'm really, really excited for people to read it, because I have done my market research, I can say, and I feel like it's everything that makes up an epic summer read. And I'm not a full-time writer, so I definitely found a great team that helped support me and made sure that all the thoughts and my ideas and everything that I wanted from these characters was made possible and on the page. But it was such a collaborative experience, and it was so fun to have. It was actually just a group of women that we all worked together to make sure that this is like everything you want in your next summer read on the beach. It follows Emma, who's kind of a little bit type A, a little uptight, and she is trying to help her friend Sybil, who was a runaway bride, not make the mistake of her life, and she has to find the help of her once enemy, Finn, who broke her heart, and they had a lot of different almost in their relationships and a relationship in their past, and then they have to come together to kind of find Sybil, and along the way might fall in love. So
I can't wait to read it.
Yeah, Abby's a big like bookworm. So she I feel like Abby will definitely be reading that book on the beach.
No, it's really, I'm very proud of it. A lot of hard work went into it. I'm think Emily Henry type book. Cool. Like people we meet on vacation type vibe. So it's awesome. It'll be out May 2024.
I've got to ask, there's been some books, Abby's read some rom-com books where there's like a sex scene like every page. Is that this book? There was one book you were like, Matt, this one is like, I cannot read this around my mom. Like it was insane.
So there's definitely some steamy parts for sure, but it's a gradual like thing. It's not, I know what you're talking about. It's tasteful.
Okay.
And I think it shows every part of a relationship and falling in love.
I'll say your cover art.
Yeah,
you shared recently. It's like such a cute book to put on the shelf too.
It's very beautiful. I know.
For your library.
It was important for me for it to be a really pretty cover that caught people's eye, and It's like a beautiful watercolor kind of Grand Canyon. Maybe there might be something on the road trip along the way that kind of was important place in the plot of the story. So yeah, it looks really good, and it's definitely got the pretty pinks and watercolor look. But yeah, it looks good.
Adam, have you read the book?
Not yet. I'm going to buy it on the shelves like everybody else.
Okay. Wait, do you have a launch date?
Yes, it's May 7th.
Okay, that's super exciting.
2024. So, but you can pre-order now. Nice. You can get it wherever books are sold. Pre-orders are great. So that would be really awesome for people to support. Wow. And I'm so confident in the product that I'm like, you're going to love it.
Is it finished at this point? Are you like wrapping things
up? It's finished, yes. Wow. We're actually working on book two.
Whoa. Wow.
Yeah. So started that. That will be, we have a while for that before that one comes out. But yeah, all the editing is, it's getting crisp. It's there. Okay, cool. Yeah.
Congratulations. That's super exciting. Thank you.
Hannah Brown, the podcaster, author, special force dancer.
Yeah. Are you going to be joining the special forces now that you won the TV show?
No. I respect the heck out of them. I really admire what people do to serve our country, but I don't know if I can do that again.
And as always, this is where we say peace out, dudes, to end out our episode.
Got it.
Okay. 3, 2, 1.
Peace out, dudes.